Today's Shir is Masechta Nazir, Daf Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Zayin, Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amid, at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Ketzer Oysalah. The Mishnah continues in teaching us exactly what was the procedure of bringing the Saita to Beis Din for her to begin her procedure of drinking the Mayim HaMa'arim. So says the Mishnah Ketzer Oysalah exactly what was done. Melichen. The Beis Din Shabbos Makom. First, they took her to the Beis Din in her location. That's where the Beis Din listens to the testimony about the kinui and stira that we began our masechta with. And they gave her two tamid chachamim to accompany her as they walked to Yerushalayim, as they traveled to Yerushalayim, because even though the testimony of the Eidim for Kinu and Stira can be accepted in any Beis Din, the actual administration of the Mayim HaMamayrim was only done in the Beis Din HaGadol Yerushalayim. And as the Rambam explains, they specifically appointed Talmid Chachamim to accompany her, because as we're going to learn, the halacha is that the husband may not have relations with her as she travels to Yerushalayim. So you have to make sure that there are Talmid Chachamim who know the halacha and make sure that if she's to warn him if he's doing anything wrong. Because as we're going to learn in our Masechta, the Pasuk says, V'nika ish ma'oven v'ishi hi tisis avona. That only in a situation where the husband is innocent, then is the wife also good, then is the Mayim HaMamorim going to work. But if the husband is not innocent. For example, as we're learning now, if the husband has relations with her after she became a Saita, then the Mayham Amarim will not be effective. So in order to make sure that the Mayham Amarim can remain effective, we have to have these two Talmid Chachamim, as we're going to learn, accompanying him. Rabbi Huda says that we don't need to have those Talmid Chachamim accompanying them, because Baal and Nemanallah, the husband can be trusted that he won't have relations with her. Says the Gemara that we just learned in the Mishnah that we have two Talmid Chachamim accompany them, Trei V'ihu, so we have these two Talmid Chachamim and the husband, Hatlasa, so we have a total of three people. Why do we need three people? Says the Gemara, Lema Messiah L'Rav, this supports what Rav has taught us. Damar Yehuda Rav, Loi Shanu, this that we learned in Masechta Kedushin, that a woman can remain alone with two men, is Ela Be'ir, only when they're in the city. Ava Bederach, but if they're on the road, Adik Kishloish, you need to have three people. Because if we only have two men with the woman, we need to be concerned. Shami Yitzdarach Ech Mehem L'Nekavav, one may have to use the bathroom. V'nimtza Ech Mehem Mesiachinim Erva. And now, while this person goes off to use the bathroom, the woman and the man remain alone. So of course, the Mefarshim ask, if this is a legitimate concern, why is this a concern only Bederach? Why is this not a concern even at home? So the Prisha explains that when they're on the road, the person who needs to use the bathroom is really going to distance himself. Until, and therefore, there's a distance between the person who's not here and this man and woman who are left alone. However, we're in the city, even in their world where there wasn't modern plumbing and there wasn't bathroom in every home, the person who used the bathroom was very close to the house, and therefore there's less of a concern. The Levush gives a different explanation. On the road, there aren't that many people frequenting. Since there aren't that many people on the road, we have to be concerned that maybe there's no one going to catch the man and woman who are left alone. In the city, there's so many people that are walking around, there's much less of a concern there for that concern. The Tzitz Eliezer, quoting the Rama, he says that since we're talking about a situation where we're concerned that the husband should not be left with the wife, and if the person will go off, the shomer will go off to use the bathroom, we have the concern that the Rabbanim express in our Mishnah that the husband and wife shouldn't be left alone. So under normal circumstances, we don't have that much of a concern. Here we have much more of a concern. Loi, says the Gemara, that isn't the reason. Hainatama, the reason, this is the reason why we have to have two people accompany them. If the husband ends up having relations with her on the road, there will be two Edom that will be able to testify that this is what happened, and they will, of course, not continue with this procedure of the Meisaita. Furthermore, the Mishnah said, Talmid Chachamim, that we should send Talmid Chachamim, Kul Amaloi, but not other people, says the Gemara Mail Lema, Messiah Lidach the Rav, that this Mishnah supports another halacha the Rav taught us. Damar Yehuda Marav, Loi Shanu El Ksherim. The halacha that one woman can remain alone with two men is only if the men are Ksherim. Ava Prutzim, if the people who the woman is alone with are people who aren't careful in their morals, I feel a sorrow namiloi, then you can't be alone with 10 men. And in fact, says the Gemara Maisa Haya, should see a sorrow b'mita, the 10 men took out a woman in a bed in order that they could all have relations with her. So only when we have Talmid Chachamim do we not have that concern. Says Merloi, that isn't necessarily Peshat in our Mishnah. Hocha Hainatama, why do we need Talmid Chachamim? The Yadin L'Sribe, as we've been learning, the Talmid Chachamim have to be able to warn him what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do. And that is only a Talmud Chachamim's ability. So the Yam Shishlami makes a point that when it says, Loi Shana El Ksherim, Aval Prutzma Afilo Saroloi, that's only in the case, says the Yam Shishloima, that if they're all Prutzim, but as long as there's somebody amongst the group who's not a Paritz, then there's no problem. The Pesach Tshuva, however, quoting the Shev Yaakov, says that one kosher amongst many Prutzim is not adequate. Because he says, we need to be concerned, this is in Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezra Simen Chabei Sif Dalad, we need to be concerned that that one kosher will be influenced by the Prutzim. But if we have two Ksherim, then we have nothing to be concerned. The Marie Men says, what is the definition of a Poritz? The definition of a Poritz, he says, is only a person who we know for a fact is a Poritz. But a person who we don't have any reason to be concerned is a Poritz, then we don't label him a Poritz. That Gos Yaivitz seems to differentiate, and he says that the person doesn't have to be a Poritz Barayas. Once we know that a person is not observant, he automatically falls into the category of a Poritz. So the Gemara says, this is the reason why over here we need Talmid Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Del Yadi Lesruibai, that we have to give Hasra. So Rashi explains that the Hasra that's mentioned here is not the Hasra that we usually find in Shas. Usually the definition of Hasra is to warn him that if he does something wrong, it'll be Chayv Malkus. Here, the Hasra is that to tell the husband that if you're going to have relations with your wife, then the Meis Soita, which is the purpose of your traveling to Yerushalayim, will not be effective. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that the Hasra here is the regular Hasra that we have throughout Shas. The definition of Hasra here is to tell the husband you're not allowed to have relations with her. And the Machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos is a very fundamental for Machloikus. Is the Hasra here, if the husband ends up having relations with his wife, will he be Chayiv Malkus or not? According to Rashi, he won't be Chayiv Malkus. According to Tosfos, he will be Chayiv Malkus. And I saw that this question actually connects itself to another question. Who do these Talmid Chachamim have to be? Is it enough that Talmid Chachamim who could administer the Hasra, or the Talmid Chachamim that are well familiar with the halacha and could tell them what's permitted or not? We learned in the Mishnah, however the opinion of Yehuda was, we don't have to have any Talmid Chacham, the husband is trusted. Says the Braisa Tanya of Yehuda, the husband is trusted, and Yehuda bases his opinion based on a Kavachomer. Kavachomer, man Nida. If someone has relations with a Nida, there's a Chiyuv Koris. Yet, Baal Nemen Allah, a husband can remain alone with his wife when she is a Nida. Saita, the isser for a husband to have relations with his wife when she is a saita is only isser lav like koshkein. Certainly, the husband can be trusted. Rabbanan. So, how did Rabbanan explain their position that you need to have tamid chachamim? Hinasenus. Exactly what you just said is the reason. Explained Rabbanan. Nida, which involves that if a husband has relations with his wife when she's a nida. That comes with a chiv karis. That's why the husband is neman. That's why he's trusted, because he doesn't want to violate such a serious isser. However, soita, this salaf, which only involves an isalaf, loy chamirale is not considered so serious by the husband, and that's why v'loy mehemen. The Taisus asks a question that the Gemara Masecht Avodah Zarah says that the Issa Yichud is the Issa Daraisa. The Issa Yichud with an Erva is an Issa Daraisa. So ask Tosfos, how indeed is a husband allowed to be alone with his wife when she's a Nida if it involves an Issa Daraisa? So Tosfos answers that yes, it's very possible that the Issa Yichud with an Erva is Issa Daraisa, but it only is such an Erva that will never become permitted. But a Nida, which of course, even though right now she's currently a Nida, will become Mutter. That's why it's not considered Yichud with an Erva, which is an Issa D'Raisa. Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin has a different explanation. The only Erva with which Yichud is an Issa D'Raisa is only an Issa Yichud with a woman that he never had relations with. But a woman that he already had relations with, there, even though she's an erva, the halach is, there is no issa yichud. And I saw that the Marach says that what's the nafkamina between these two rutsim? While be halacha, if somebody divorced a woman. So right now, there is no heter that he will be allowed to marry, allowed to have relations with her. They're no longer husband and wife, so he may not have relations with her. But if the fact that they're taking consideration is that they once had relations, so this is a woman that he once had relations, and that's why it would be mutter. So the Achronim make a point that Yichud when Eishes Ish is Anissa Daraisa, and says Rabbi Yashiv that from our Gemara it seems that only the Issa Daraisa of an Erva is only in only by an Issa Karis, because the Gemara was looking for a source for Saita. And the Gemara says we can't learn Saita from Nida, that a Nida's Karis and a Saita is alav. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says that asked the Gemara, we just said, Rabbi Yehuda who says that we don't need to have we don't have to have Talmid Chachamim. So the Gemara suggested we learn it from a Kavachomer. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Mekavachomer Maisla, is the source of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion a Kavachomer? Ask the Gemara, for Rabbi Yehuda Mekra Maisla, didn't Rabbi Yehuda learn it from a Pasuk? The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us. The Pasuk says, Vehevi Ish as Ishtai Lakoyin. Minatayra Ish Mavis Ishtai. Midaraisa says Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk is teaching us that it's adequate that just the husband and the wife go to the Bezdan, go to Yerushalayim. Av chacham, it's the chacham that instituted that Moshe Moshnei Talmid Chachamim, that two Talmid Chachamim should accompany them, because we're concerned Shem Yavol Abaderech, they may come to have relations on the road. Rabbi Yossi holds Baal Neman Allah, the husband is trusted. Bekav Chaimer, what is the Kav Chaimer? A man needs she bekaris. If having relations with your wife when she's a nida is a chiyuv karis, Baal and Nemanala, the husband is trusted, and the husband can remain alone with his wife when she's in Nida. Saita Shibilav Loi Koshkein. Amma Loi, so the Chum said, Loi, your thinking is incorrect. Ema Marta Benida, if we said by Anida that a husband's allowed to be alone with his wife when she is Anida, Shekein Yesh Laheter, she will ultimately be mutter to him when she's no longer Anida. Time of Besaita, whereas the Saita, ain't Loi Heter. There is no Heter. And even though she had already relations with this man, continues the Brisa saying, V'oimer, it says, Ma'im Genuvim Yitaku. Since right now they may not have relations, that makes her more interesting to the husband. It's a deraisa. So we see from here that the Brice is saying clearly that the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that there's a pasuk in the Torah, not based on a kavachayma. So the Gemara wanted to say that a Nida and a Saita are different because a Nida will eventually become mutter to her husband, and that's why he doesn't have such a strong Yetzahara to have relations with her, whereas a Saita. But a Saita also is not for sure that she will remain Asur. The whole issue of a Saita is that we're not sure what ultimately would happen. So we see from here, say the Paiskim, that even when there's a question, the Masham makes this point in Shas Chuvas Masham, Chelik Beis Simikov Ayin Ches, that the only woman that a man could have yichud with, the only time a man can have yichud with his wife when she's a nida, is when she's a woman that right now there's an issue, she's a nida, but a mitzvah Shem, she will not remain a nida. But if you have a woman who we have a question may never become mutter, there says the Masham, since we don't have that factor to take into consideration, that ultimately be mutter, so why should I do something now? That woman, the husband will not be allowed to have yichud with him. So again, the Gemara's question is, the Gemara was saying that the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a kal v'chomer, but we see the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion actually is a pasuk. Answers the Gemara, Amalahu. What happened here was like this. First, Rabbi Yehuda based his opinion, kal v'chomer b'reisha. He based it on the kal v'chomer, upechua, and then the kal v'chomer was refuted. And then, v'hadam l'kra, and then he said, then he quoted a pasuk, which of course cannot be refuted. But ask the Gemara, the Yehuda who's mentioned at the end of the Braisa is similar, has the same opinion as the Tanakama. They both are of the opinion that the husband could bring the wife who's a Saita. So what are the difference between the two opinions? Answers the Gemara, the Tanakama holds that yes, midaraisa the husband should be able to bring the wife himself. But the Tanakama agrees the midrabanan, it's appropriate to have two Talmid Chachamim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that not only midaraisa may the husband be the one to bring the wife, but there's no reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to accept the Takana de Rabbanon that you should have to have two Talmid Chachamim. Continues the Mishnah, they would bring the woman to the Beis Din Gadol Shel Yerushalayim, and they would put fear into her, that just like when Adam comes say testimony about Adam the Fashis, that Rashi explains that they would frighten them to make sure they're saying the truth, so here too they would frighten them. Tosfos Yontov has a little different approach. The Tosfos Yontov's approach is not that they necessarily frighten the Adam, that we take the testimony of Adin, what the Mishnah means to say, that just like we take the testimony of Adin Nefashis more seriously than we take the testimony of Adin Dine Mammon, here too we take their testimony more seriously. Adin Nefashis, Amalai, and they tell her, Biti, our daughter, pay attention, Habiyayin Asa, it could be that you were intoxicated, and since you were intoxicated, That's why you came to do the Saveira. So the question is that why do they call her with this term of endearment, Biti? So they saw that the Sefer Kol Sefer explains that we tell her, even though you're being accused of this terrible sin, remember always, Biti. Remember always, we don't want you ever, Chas V'Shalom, to forget that you are part of, that you are part of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Biti, Habi Yayin Oysa, Habi Schoik Oysa. Maybe you were not acting in a serious manner with this man, and that caused you to act improperly. Sometimes you act immaturely. And I saw the Ein Eliyahu explains that Yaldus doesn't mean only we say this to a woman who's a young woman. We say it even to a woman who's an older woman. But even sometimes people who are older act immaturely. And maybe you had bad neighbors who had a bad influence on you. And therefore they tell us, say, L'shmoy HaGodol, have respect to the Shem, have a respect for the Shem Shemayim, V'ayim L'fonav, and they tell her, D'varim She'ene K'day L'shomam. They say to her very strong words. They tell her about, as we're going to learn, people who admitted their mistakes. And by saying these, we speak about Yehuda and Reuven, as we're going to learn in our shir. And it's not appropriate, explains the Ben Yoyada, to speak negatively about these great people. But here we speak negatively about these great people because maybe that will cause her to admit that she did the wrong thing. She'll say, if these great people did the wrong thing, maybe and they admitted their sin, so too did I, maybe I'm in that category. And therefore, Vayim L'dvarim, She'enim, K'day L'shamim, Hiv V'chom Mishpachas Meir Saviyah. They're saying that the family should hear this also. And as I saw, the Rambam explains that we say these words to her in front of her husband, in front of her family, and that's why they may have more of an influence on her. Im Amr Tameyani, if after hearing this, she admits that she is indeed guilty. Sheveris ksubasa. The halacha is that she forfeits her ksuba, v'yotza, and she doesn't remain married. Even though there are no edim to testify that that's what happened. However, if she still insists, im amr tahirani, she still insists that I am innocent, malan esel shara mizrach, they take her to the east gate of the Beis HaRabayis, the Shar Nikner, they take her to the Shar Nikner, Shisham, and the, as we know, the Gemara Masech, the Yuma, that Flamed Zion Amen Beis says, why were they called Shar Nikner? Because these were people, he was the individual who brought copper doors from Mitzrayim to the Beis HaMikdash, and there were Nisim that happened with those doors, and that's why they were forever called Shar Nikner. Shisham Mashkin Asaitis. That was the place where they gave the Saita to drink, the Mei Saita, and Vimtarim Siyaledis. The halacha is that when somebody brings a carbon, the pasuk tells us that the person has to be there. But the when they bring their carbon, but the Yaledis is Tamei, so she can't be standing there. So the Shad Nikner is the right place for her to stand. Matan is Mitzayrim, the same as the halacha when a Mitzayra brings his kabbonis when he finishes being a Mitzayra. The Kohen Eichs B'Begdea, so says the Mishnah, the Kohen would seize her garment. Im Nikru, Nikru, if they get torn, so be it. Im Nifru, if they get torn to many in many different places, so, Nifrumu. Achim Megalas Liba, until her heart is exposed. So the Ben Yoyada explains what's Pshat, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, created the breast of a woman next to a heart, not like an animal who nurses from a different plot, to teach us that a human being is supposed to be greater. A person is different than a human being, than an animal. And here, the concern is that she acted with an animal. She didn't remain faithful to her husband. V'soysa sa'ara, and he undoes her hair. And I saw the Ben Yoyada explains, what does this mean? The unique attribute of hair is that every hair goes from a separate pore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what was saying to her is that every wife is supposed to be dedicated to her husband. But you weren't just dedicated to the one man that you married. You also maybe had relations with another man. If she was good looking, so Taisus answers that isn't there, we're going to learn that this, what we do to the woman, is based on a pasuk. So how could we say, well, we're not going to fulfill what it says in the pasuk, we're not going to follow the directive of the pasuk because she's good looking? So Taisus answers, since we're not actively going against what the Torah says, we're doing it with Shevat Asa, we're just not doing something, that's not called going against what the Torah. The Taisus Yontif has a different pshat. Taisus Yontif says that the pshat of Yehuda is we have to be thinking about the future. And if in the future, if she ends up being innocent, and people will have seen her that she was exposed, that will cause that she should be the source of people coming to do an Avera. When, if that's the case, it won't happen. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that it depends on who the woman is. We have to look at every situation. In some situations, doing this will cause her to break down. In some situations, when she's maybe beautiful, it will cause just the opposite. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying we have to look at the circumstances to know what to do. Similarly, if her hair was nice, they would not expose it. If she was wearing white garments, now we put on black garments on her. If she was wearing gold jewelry, the katlios and chokers that, and the Bartanur explains, they used to wear, the women used to wear a choker, because in those days, which actually what was attractive was a woman that was a little heavier. And when she wears a choker, it could show that she's more attractive. Nizavim, if she was wearing earrings, nose rings, the tabas, the rings, mavir mimena, we remove all of these from her, kedei lenavla. Everything was done to make her look not pretty. It's a type of a string made out of material that grows around the palm tree. And they tied it on top of her breast. Says the Mishnah, anyone who wants to witness what's happening may come, except for her servants. Because since she has this relationship with the servants and she thinks that she's on top of them, their being there may prevent her from admitting to what she's done. Not only are women allowed to come, they should come. That everybody should some. Women should come to see what happens, and that will cause them not to behave that she does. Says the Gemara anonymously. We learned in our Mishnah that the site is brought to the Beis Din HaGadol, and in the Beis Din HaGadol, we do this entire procedure of getting her to maybe admit that she did an Avera. Why does it ask the Gemara, why must it have done specially in the Beis Din HaGadol? Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, Amr Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Asya Torah Torah, we learn it through Gzeir Shava. The Torah speaks about a Zaka Mamre. A Zaka Mamre is a Talmud Chacham who disputes what the Beis Din HaGadol said and doesn't agree to back off and goes publicly against the Beis Din HaGadol. And the Pasuk says, Ksiv Hacha, the Torah says regarding the Saita, regarding the Zaka Mamre, the Torah says, Apia Torah Shirucha, Mala Halan, the definition of a Zaka Mamre is someone who rebelled against the Beis Din of Shivan Ve'echad, Afkan, here too, the halacha is that everything involving the site is done in the Shiv Mechon and the Bezdin HaGodl that's in the Lishkas HaGozes next to the Beis HaMikdash. Umayman Allah. And says that we frighten her, we try to get her to admit if she did anything wrong, because we don't want Chas V'Shalom to have to erase the piece of paper that has the shame Hashem on it. Vermeni says, ask the Gemara, but the Brisa says, Kederech Shemaim Elosh Leitishta, just like we try to get her not to drink, we also try to tell her, if you are indeed innocent, then stand your ground. I'm lying, we tell her, Bitei, and Baruch Hadover, if you are convinced, that Shemtairaat, that you are innocent, Imde Alburiach, stand by your position. Fishisi and drink the Maim Marim. Lefish e Maim Marim el Daima el Sam Yavish. The way to look at the Maim Marim, we told her, is looking at it like a medicine, Shemunach Abasachai, that's on exposed flesh. Imyesh Shamaka Machal Chavayerid. If there's a wound, it could cause infection. Ah, ain't Shamaka, if there's nothing there, then it won't cause, if there's no wound, there ain't Mael Klum. Answers Gemara. Like Kash. So, do we try to convince her not to drink? Or maybe we don't convince her not to drink? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kansh Kanshanacha Megillah. If the Megillah wasn't erased, and as we just said, we're trying to convince her not to make that the Shem Hashem should be erased, so then we try to convince her don't drink. However, La'acha Shanimcha Megillah, once the Megillah was already erased anywhere, then we want her to drink. And as the Yaivitz explains, because that will cause a tremendous Kiddush Hashem showing the power of the Mayim HaMarim. Vayim Lefana, we said in the Mishnah, they said to her, Dvarim She'eni Kedai L'Shaman, words, things that really she shouldn't have to hear. Tana Rabbanan, Oyim Lefana, the Brisa expounds. Tana Rabbanan, Oyim Lefana, Dvarim Shal Agada, we say Agadata, Maisa She'ira B'Ksuvim Rashonim, things that happened in the earlier history. Kigoin, as the Pasuk says in Eoiv, Ashechomim Yagidu V'loikichadu Mevoisam. We learned these things that go back to the previous generations. Yehuda Hoidu V'loibosh. Yehuda admitted and he wasn't embarrassed. Omaya Soifai. And what was his reward? Nochachai Ha'ilam Haba. He was Zoychat Ha'ilam Haba. Ruvain Hoidu. Ruvain wasn't embarrassed to admit what he did wrong, as we'll see in the Shir, in the Gemara. So the Ian Yaakov asks, that wasn't the episode of Yehuda before, the episode of Ruvain before the episode of Yehuda. So what is the Gemara, why did they talk about Yehuda before Ruvain? So Ian Yaakov explains, as we're going to learn, Ruvain admitted to his wrongdoing because of Yehuda. And therefore, since Ruvain only admitted was because of Yehuda, that's why Yehuda's admission is mentioned first. Another test that the Ben Yehuda suggests is that Yehuda's admission was in public. Ruvain's admission was not in public. And that's why we give more significance to Yehuda's admission. So the Ian Yaakov asks, these are not the only two people that we find in history that admitted. Achan admitted that he took from the Cherim of Yerichai. Why is he not mentioned? Because, explains the Yaakov, because Achan died a very difficult death. And that's why we don't want to mention to her that story. Another teretz that the Ben Yoyada offers is that we only mention situations that involve Znus, as we're going to say. Achan's story had nothing involved with that. The Ben Yoyada offers a third teretz. He says that Achan admitted after the lottery pointed at him. So that isn't considered a real admission because he was really already caught. Whereas Ruvain and Yehuda admitted where there was nothing that forced them to admit. The Shaul Shuvus Rimar asks that the Pasuk says that when we lay in the parasha of Ruvain, The halacha is the Gemara and Masech the Megillah, Daf Chaf Heyom and Aleph, teaches us that we should, normally in those days when they leaned, they said Targum, they interpreted the words. Here we don't do so for the covenant of Reuven. Yet here we're saying that we spoke to her about what happened with Reuven. Says the Chuvas Rima that the halacha is that, as we're learning, to avoid the eraser of the Shem Hashem, we go to extremes. And therefore, even though normally we might not want to speak about this, here to avoid the erasing of Shem Hashem, we're allowed to do it. Another teretz that is offered is that the story, when the Gemara Masechta Megillah says it shouldn't be interpreted by Rabbim, it's something that means in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Beis HaMedrash, where there are many people. The story of Reuven and this here with the Saita is not such a large crowd, and therefore it could be admitted. It could be said to her. So ask the Gemara, what were the schar that for them admitting? Ask the Gemara, what is your question? Mascharon. Kedarmina, we just said that they got Olam Haba. Ela Mascharon by Olam Haza. The question is, what was the schar in Olam Haza? Lechem Levadam Nitna Aretz. Yehuda got Malchus, as we know, and Reuven got his share first in Olam Haza by the Eivor Hayadin. And when Moshe Rabbeinu gives the brachas to the Shvatim, he says the bracha of Reuven, and then he says the bracha of Yehuda. And I saw that the Iyun Yaakov explains that when somebody gets a perfect bracha is a bracha that's toiv l'shamayim with toiv l'briyas, a bracha that has both elements of gashmius and ruchnius. And that's why the Gemara is trying to identify they who did the right thing, how did they get brachas that affected them positively, both in gashmius and ruchnius. Bishlam Yehuda, so begins the Gemara. Bishlam Yehuda Ashkan Da'idi, by Yehuda we find that he admitted the ksiv, v'yaka Yehuda. Yehuda, when Tamar said, you were the one that had relations with me, the pasuk said, v'yaka Yehuda. Yehuda recognized her, v'yoyma tzatkevimani, she is correct. Says the Gemara, Ela Reuven Minolan Doidi. Where do we find the Reuven admitted? Answers the Gemara, Dorm Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Om Rav Yochanan. My Diksiv, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, as we just said, to Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu, as he gives brachas to Klal Yisrael before Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the world, he says, Yichi Reuven Vayomus Vezois Lehuda. He says, Kol Ois Nishanim Shal Yisrael B'midbar. All the years that Klai saw in the Midbar, even though Yehuda, of course, was no longer alive, but his body was not totally intact. He was in a cherim. Why? Because he had told Yaakov Avinu, when he had said, let me take Binyamin to Yosef, Yehuda said, Anoichi ervenu miyodi tevakshenu imloy haviyacha elecha v'tzaktu finach v'tosu l'chvonu kol hayoyim. And even though what Yehuda kept his deal, he took Reuven, he took Binyamin, but he brought him back. The Gemara Masech the Makis, Daf Yud Aleph on the base, teaches us that nidu of a chacham, that if a chacham put somebody into cherem, here Yehuda put himself into cherem, even if it's done al tanai, it happens. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came, Obikish Lov Rachman, davened on behalf of Yehuda. Omel fun of Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shloilem, Mi garam Yehuda Shahoida, what caused that Reuven should admit that he did the wrong thing? Yehuda. And therefore he says, V'zois Yehuda. And yet we find that Yehuda's bones are not kept together. And therefore he said, Takarish Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Takarish Baruch Hu, Shema Hashem, Kol Yehuda, Al Avri L'Safa. So at that point, his bones started coming together. However, still, V'lo have a Kamayla and L'Masifta Rekia. They did not allow Yehuda into the Yeshiva Shamala. So Moshe Rabbeinu continues in that and says, V'lo Avit Tavienu, says the Gemara, so they brought him into the Yeshiva Shamala. However, v'loy have a koyada mishkel mitrach b'shmata d'hai rabbanon. He wasn't able to keep his own in the debate that was going on the yeshiva shemala. So Moshe Rabbeinu then davens yodav ravloy, and at that point loy have a kosaka l'shmata leave the halacha. He was able to keep his own, but he wasn't able to that the halacha should be as he said until he davened the Ezim Tzarev Tia, that he should prevail over everyone else. At that point, he was completely restored. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Yehuda Da'idi, that Yehuda admitted, as we just said, we just quoted the Pasuk, where it says, Tzotka Mimeni, Kehech Delay Tzarev Tamar, and he admitted to prevent Tamar from being burnt, as we're going to be learning the Sugyas. El Lav Lamalei Da'idi, what was need for Ruvain to admit, and it's inappropriate that somebody should delineate his Averis. So why over here is it appropriate that Reuven should say is an Averis? Says the Gemara, what happened was that after Rachel was Nifteres, what happened was the Pasuk says that Reuven took Yaakov Avinu's bed into the tent of Bilhah instead of going to Leah. And Reuven admitted to what he did. And in order to that Yaakov Avinu should not accuse any of the other brothers that they did it, that's why it was appropriate for Reuven to admit. We learned in the Mishnah, and Amr Tameyani, if the woman admits that she's Tameya, so the Mishnah says, Shaveres ksuba, so she loses her ksuba. And shema mina, isn't this a raya that koisun ksuba? Throughout Shas, there's a debate. If somebody admits that they aren't entitled, do we write a receipt? Some shitas, some opinions say we do write a receipt. And some say we don't write a receipt because now the person who gets the receipt has to watch that piece of paper, something that he didn't expect to have to do. So isn't our Mishnah that says Shaveres Ksubasa a raya that we do? Amar Baye Tanai, Bekeres Ksubasa. Indeed, we don't write a Shaveh, we just rip up the Ksuba. Amar Lei Rava, but Rava says to Baye, but that's not what it says in the Mishnah. For Shaveres Ketani, doesn't the Mishnah explicitly say that we write a Shaveh? Ela Amar Rava, as we learned in Masechta Ksubas, but Makam She'en Kaisvin Ksuba, that there were certain places that they didn't actually write a Ksuba. And a place where they don't write a ksuba, of course, there's no other way that the husband will not be held responsible to pay the ksuba unless he has a receipt. So when is there a question in Shas if we do or don't write a receipt? That's only in a place where there's a ksuba. So there, the husband could demand, just rip up the ksuba and I shouldn't have to hold on to the shaver. But if we live in a place where there is no ksuba, the only way that the husband has proof that he doesn't have to pay a ksuba if the marriage is ended is by writing a shaver. When there's no other option other than writing a shaver, says the Gemara, everybody agrees that that's what should be done.